This is J. Lewis Mills, and you are about to be put on the level with J. Lewis Mills. Whether it's truth, controversy, good news, or bad. If it offends you, I'm sorry. If you agree, that's great. We talk about it all here because everything needs to be put on the level. Come in and join the conversation. I promise you'll be glad you did. I promise you, I will never, ever, ever get sick of hearing that. How are you all doing? This is J. Lewis Mills, and you are now on the level with J. Lewis Mills. I hope you all have had a good week. It's been a bit of an interesting week for me. You know, the last couple of weeks, we have been watching all of the turmoil and the and the violence and everything going on in the United States. I also viewed some videos of Black Lives Matter protests in the United Kingdom. So blessings and thank you to my brothers and sisters over there. But this week, I actually saw white people trying to make excuses, or excuse me, explanations for what has been going on, or trying to say that the protests weren't about Black Lives Matter. So I'm going to dive into that as well as some other subjects, but I have a guest this week. And this guest, I will let him tell you all what all he is into. But when I came across him, I knew that I wanted to have him on the show. And I wanted to have him on the show because clearly my generation didn't get it right. The generations before me didn't get it right. So I wanted to speak to someone from the next generation, the generation under me. And I found this brother. His name is Tyreek Wynn. He is out of Atlanta, Georgia. I don't think I could do it justice because he wears so many hats. I don't necessarily know if I would remember them all. So I am going to introduce you all to this young, inspiring, entrepreneurial prodigy of a young black man from Atlanta, Georgia. Again, his name is Tyreek Wynn. How are you doing, brother? Tell everybody about who you are, what you're into, and then we will dive into the conversation.
What's up? Yes, I am very excited to be here. You know, I was saying I listened to your intro too. And wow, that intro was sick. That was that was awesome. I gotta get somebody to do something like that for me. You know, like you said, I'm here in Atlanta. I'm very happy to be here. And shout out to, you know, got to give a shout out to LinkedIn, the power of LinkedIn, because, you know, that's how we found each other. So LinkedIn is like awesome because so many people tell me to start using LinkedIn, start doing it consistently. And I've started and you're one of the interviews that, you know, have came through from LinkedIn. And I've gotten lots of opportunities through LinkedIn. So, yeah, definitely appreciate you being on the lookout for me, you know, on the internet and things of that nature. But yes, I am Tyreek Wynn. I'm very happy to be here. And I'll tell you guys a little bit about myself, tell you a little bit about myself and also your audience as well. So yes, I am here in Atlanta. I am 19 years old and my journey started at 14 years old. When I was 14, I wrote my first book. It was called Green is the Thing, Money Management for Kids. It's a book to teach kids how to make, save, and manage money at a young age. So I thought that this was going to be a great book, you know, for kids to learn because in schools, or at least I know here in Georgia, in schools, there aren't mandatory financial literacy classes. And so I knew that kids were not getting the valuable assets. Kids were not learning the valuable tools that they needed to succeed in life financially and be financially savvy. So I knew that I had to take my knowledge that my parents taught me, take all the knowledge that I knew and put it into a book for people. And may I say that the book has been booming ever since. Actually, a few days ago, I had my author anniversary of 6 years. So, and it's crazy. And it's crazy because I'll say the Lord has a sense of humor, because right after, like the day after my sixth anniversary, I sold 6 books. So, oh, wow. that was just something that was just pretty crazy. But yeah, thank God for those sales. But yes, so the book, and I start with the book first, because the book is the root of pretty much everything that I do. It started my entire journey, really, because from the book, that's when I got invited to do, you know, radio interviews like this. I got invited to do live TV interviews. Also got invited to do podcasts, just all these great things I was able to do. And that's how I got the TV bug, the radio bug, the media bug. So, you know, I was able to do journalism and things in that nature. And I was able to learn from all these people's shows that I went on. And it was just something great and exciting. And that's kind of how I got the love for TV and journalism. And so, you know, I sat down with my parents. I told them what I wanted to do. I told them I wanted a show. I wanted my own show. I wanted to be on TV. I wanted to be the best talk show host that anybody's ever seen. And I wanted to immediately go to a network at 16 years old. And my parents told me, it don't work like that. You got to put some work in, you know, yeah, at the beginning and stuff. So I put the work in. You know, when I first started my show, it's, by the way, the name of my show is called Tyreek on the Move. It comes on here in Atlanta. It's on TV on Tuesdays on channel 21.1 on antenna here at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here in Atlanta. It's also on YouTube. So if you type in Tyreek on the Move, so Tyreek is T-Y-R-I-K, then on the move, type that in your Google search, YouTube browser, whatever, then you can find the show and all the celebrity interviews and great things that I've done on the show. But yes, at first, the show, if you go back and look at like the first few episodes, the show was not good. Like it was, the show was very struggling. You know, I didn't have the equipment that I have now. I didn't have I didn't have as much passion as I do now. But my parents saw that I was serious. They saw that I was honed into it, really excited about doing it. And they came and they invested in me. They invested in me, invested in the show, got the show equipment, the mics, the cameras, the lights, the green screen, the desk, the chairs, all that good stuff that, you know, you need to have a successful broadcast. And so Went ahead and did that. And the show got bigger ever since. It went to more platforms and it went to TV. Then all the huge celebrity interviews started coming. And, you know, I've interviewed some pretty big name people. And then from there, you know, it was time to go to college. I went to Georgia State University, majoring in journalism there. I am a rising junior now. And when I went to Georgia State, you know, everything was great. Everything was fine and dandy. More opportunities just started coming. Like now I am the president of the National Association of Black Journalists at Georgia State University. And I'm also the executive producer of Panther Report News at Georgia State, which is our school news station. So keeping the students updated on the latest happenings around campus and Atlanta and Georgia and around the world. So that's pretty much some of the stuff that I do.
So let me just make it clear, because, you know, I have had people that have come down on me for how I view some of the people of your generation, some of the younger people, some of the knuckleheads, you know, the ones that don't have respect for adults, don't have respect for their parents, don't have respect for the rules, don't want to do the hard work. But at 14, you wrote your first book. At 14, you realized, as you said that you knew that this was information that had to get out there. So at 19, you are a junior at Georgia State University. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You are an author. You are the president of a black group at Georgia State. You are an executive producer. You are a news anchor. You are and don't you even own your own company?
Yes. It's called Wynn Productions LLC. So we specialize in doing commercials, videos for different businesses. We also specialize in producing shows as well. And also something new that we started is virtual business cards. So, you know, not everybody's doing hand-to-hand contact. You know, everybody likes to still network, you know, during these times, but not everybody's trying to touch each other and touch everybody's business cards. So, so that's, you know, we're doing virtual business cards. It can be a video or it can be a picture, but you know, it's on your phone and you can text it to people or airdrop it and all of that good stuff. And so I know that you're, you know, out on the West Coast and we do travel. So if there's anybody out there, I know most of your audience is probably, you know, out on the West Coast. So, hey, if anybody's listening right now, looking to have some very affordable video production that actually goes on television, then yes, definitely reach out to us. Our number is 754-225-2805. So yes, got to put that plug in.
I'm going to ask you to, I'm going to ask you to give all of your information at the end of the show. But if any of your followers or any of my listeners want to call in and ask you or ask myself or Tyreek a question, you can call 1-888-627-6008. Again, that is 1-888-627-6008. So now we have. We have the baseline, so I can get into asking you my questions and my listeners will understand, you know, they should by now understand why I asked you to be a guest on my show. You are, as I said, enterprising. You are doing your thing. You are in school and clearly you have a level head on your shoulders. So the first question that I want to ask you, and, you know, just so my listeners understand, I want you all to hear the perspective of this young man. I'm not trying to say that he represents his generation because clearly he doesn't. We all know those idiot kids that have already failed at life. So I'm not trying to say that he represents his generation, but I want you to hear from the educated part of his generation. So my first question to you, Tyreek, is this, and it's kind of a two-part question, and take as much time as you need to answer. When you the very first time you saw the video of Derek Chauvin having his knee in George Floyd's neck, as well, the first time you saw Amy Cooper standing in Central Park and she looked dead into a camera and said, I'm going to call the police and tell them a black man is threatening my life. When you saw both of those videos for the very first time, do you remember what the first thought that went through your head was? And if you remember, what was it?
Yeah, I will say that obviously situations that you don't want to see, you know, happen at all. I will say I'll go into the Central Park one first because you know, I want to say more about George Floyd's situation. But the Central Park one, I will say, that type of situation happens all the time, as far as I'm concerned, because I've heard of it. And I think it's – so I'm not – well, and actually, it's one of those situations where, you know, that can really happen to anybody. But my stance on it is I don't agree with it. I think it's pretty terrible, you know, the fact that you would have the audacity – you know, to do something like that when literally, you know, as a person, you are free to record. You are free to record, you know, whatever you want. But he wasn't doing anything to her. He wasn't, you know, threatening her. He wasn't doing anything wrong. So for her to, you know, have the audacity to do that, it's just like really, like come on now. So and then not even looking at that. I mean, the animal cruelty towards the dog was just like, it was like, what, like, are you, like, the dog was literally suffering, being suffocated on the video. So it's just like, you know, and I was feeling for the pet because the pet is like, you know, the pet doesn't know what's going on. He has nothing to do with that situation. So, you know, is a lot, definitely animal cruelty. And then just all around bad situation. And because, you know, with her being her, she believes that if she says there is an African American man, you know, doing whatever, the police are automatically going to believe that because, you know, of her. Yes. And so, you know, it just goes to show you that, you know, there is privilege in this situation. But yes, that's kind of my stance on that. When I first saw the George Floyd video, it tore me. It was something, you know, I've seen many, you know, I have seen many police brutality videos. You know, especially within my career, you know, journalism, I have to look at these things. I have to investigate these things. That way I can report on them in an accurate way. So when I saw this, it hurt me. It hurt me a lot. Even though it wasn't me in that situation, it still hurt. And it hurt because this is my brother right here. Mm-hmm. And to see one of my people out there being in that type of situation, it's like, where have we come, you know, as a society? If we still have these issues that are going on, then we have a whole lot of work to do. Because if you take a look at the video, not only was he on his neck, but he's constantly saying, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. And then at the same time, him having his hands in his pocket also is a really big part of the situation, because it's kind of like, oh, I'm kind of relaxing until, you know, until he goes or whatever. So I think the situation absolutely terrible. I think justice, you know, needs to be served, obviously. And I just think it's one of those situations where it's hurting everybody, really. And, you know, you look at, there's so many protests happening, not just here in the U.S., not just here in Atlanta, not just there in California where you are, but literally in the entire world. Like you mentioned earlier, the United Kingdom as well. So everybody's joining in on this protest. And I guess this situation right here was really like the breaking point for people, because I'm seeing protests like I've never seen before. I've never seen this many protests around the world. So it shows you that people, lots of people, are putting differences aside, coming together, standing up for what's right. And I will say, seeing people out there protesting, you know, the other day here on, you know, the other day, Georgia on Tuesday, yesterday, you know, we voted. We headed to the polls, we casted our vote. And to me, voting is the number one protest, that speaks volume. Because if you don't like somebody in office, you have the ability to use your voice and vote them out. If you like somebody, you have the ability to use your voice and vote them in. So, I just think that, you know, and I will tell, and you were probably going to get to this later on, but lots of voter suppression here yesterday. In Georgia, and we made national news yesterday. I'm not sure if you had a chance to see any of that.
Oh, absolutely. I saw it. Yeah.
It got out of hand. So, yeah, that's
So let me ask you this, just, and this is just in your opinion. Would you say it is just as bad or not as bad for someone to call the police and make a false report, or would you say that just the blatant police brutality is worse? Do you understand my question?
Yeah. So you're basic. I kind of get what you're saying. So it's basically saying, do I think, like, which situation I think is worse, or do I think they're on the same level? Okay.
Yes.
Um, Well, this is where I like, with the whole George Floyd situation, since obviously they're both, it's both a racist situation, both racism is involved in both situations. Looking at the George Floyd situation, obviously that is worse because, death is being involved. But on the other aspect of it, it's still technically kind of, on the same level, because it's putting the black person in the negative light
Yes.
in both situations.
Yes.
So obviously with the George Floyd situation, I think that since police brutality, obviously it was murder that was involved in that situation. So I believe that one is the worst case scenario, but at the same time, the other one is still bad. And I'm not, justifying any of the situations at all, because they're both terrible. But
Absolutely.
yes, that's pretty much where I stand on that.
So it came out, and I don't know if you saw this, and I don't know if it was yesterday or it was today that I saw it. It came out, well, first of all, I had posted last week because the owner of a nightclub that both George Floyd and Derek Chauvin worked at, she was on there, and she said when she saw it, one of her, I think her son or a co one of her employees, somebody came to her and told her it was on and said, "I think that's Derek." And she said she went and looked and she said, "Yes, that was." And then she said that she didn't even recognize that was George because of the position that he was in. And okay, I understand. I can get that. I understand that. But one of the other bouncers that was working with them, that knew both of them, he came out and he said that Derek and George, when they were working together, they had problems with each other. And the person that was the journalist that was asking the question said, "What do you mean?" And he said that George didn't like the way Derek dealt with people of color because he was overly aggressive, and Derek didn't like the way George acted. He didn't like the things that he talked about. So, knowing all of that, do you think Derek Chauvin should still be charged with second degree murder? Or do you think that since they knew each other, since they have the history that they have, and there's no way Derek Chauvin did not know who George Floyd was at that time, there's no way anybody is going to say, "Well, he didn't remember." You can't say that because he didn't remember. I have a guest, so I can't cuss like I usually do, but that's BS, number one. So, since they knew each other and since they had such negative history, do you think that the murder charge for Derek Chauvin should even be upgraded further to first degree murder?
He definitely needs to be charged. And really, for that, to be honest with you, I actually, because I heard some of that, I heard some of that stuff, like today on the radio when I was on the way home, and I heard about the club and stuff, and so about Derek, and so obviously he's been. He's had his ways for a while, obviously. So, but yes, I think that he still needs to be charged, no matter what. You took a life, like you need to be charged. So, that's pretty much, that's pretty much the way I feel about this situation. No matter what the circumstances were, you deserve to be charged. You will be charged, and yeah, I'll leave it at, I'll leave that at, I'll leave it at that. But yes, definitely needs to be charged.
Now, let's move to a little closer to home for you. Mm-hmm. Let's move to the George Floyd protests / riots / looting that went on there in Atlanta. Let's put a pin in that and let's go directly to the, I think it was five, correct me if I'm wrong, it was either five or six police officers that were fired because of the incident with the two college students where they pulled them out of the car and were doing the tasing. You're in college right now. I don't know. I have not asked you when we spoke yesterday. I didn't even ask you if you knew those two. But whether you knew them or not, you're in college. That very well, I mean, that is so close to home that could have absolutely been you and a friend of yours. So how did that resonate with you? And have you had conversation with any of your college mates about it?
Mm-hmm. Well, first off, I will say I did not know them, but the whole time, like when that thing first came out, the whole time I was thinking that could have been me. That could have been one of my friends. That could have been me and some of my friends that I could have been involved in that situation. And to think that this thing could happen to me when I'm literally just sitting in my car doing nothing. I mean, that's ridiculous that is ridiculous. And like they were tased, they were taken out of the car. And shout out to my, the amazing mayor of Atlanta, Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms. They were fired. So, yes. And I know you're talking about five and six. I can't remember the exact number off of the top of my head, cause I actually didn't report on that story. So mm-hmm. I don't remember the exact number off the top of my head, but it was somewhere around that number. So yeah, you're in the right, you're in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
But yes, but that was what I was thinking the whole time. Like that could have been me. And I was thinking, you know, what would I have done in that situation? Or, you know, how would I have reacted? You know, how my family would have reacted. Some of them are watching right now. I mean, listening right now. You know, how my parents would have reacted. It's just so many thoughts that come to your head when you see a certain issue, you know, hit close to home for you. And so, it was crazy to see that, you know, we're protesting because of a police brutality situation. And then now we're having police brutality inside of police brutality. Like that's we're protesting for a reason. And then we have the same thing that we're protesting about still happening. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So it's like, it's crazy. And then, you know, there's been other, you know, not even that situation. There's been other more situations of people being arrested for nothing and, you know, being detained for nothing, just all of these different stuff in different states and mm-hmm. things like that. So it's crazy. Yeah, it's crazy.
Now, I also heard staying with the officers getting fired. And okay, so I'm just saying what it is. I'm not putting any emphasis on any part of what I'm getting ready to say. But the police commissioner is a Caucasian woman.
Mm-hmm. Erica Shields, yeah.
And she came out and she said that she was surprised that the police that got fired were fired, because when she met, I don't know, and this is where I have to apologize. I don't remember if it was the mayor that she was in conversation with, or if it was other police officials, or if it was other community leaders. Whoever she was in conversation with, she said that it was never part of the conversation for these police officers to be fired. Yeah. Now, again, I'm not putting any emphasis on the fact that she is a Caucasian woman.
Mm-hmm.
But I will ask your opinion on her coming out publicly saying that she was surprised that they were fired over what happened. Do you think, as not only as a young black man, but as a young black college student, as a young black Atlanta resident, do you think that it was right for her to voice those sentiments? And if that's how she really feels, can you really trust her to protect Atlanta?
It's a really good question. I will say this. So, kind of, you know, back to that situation. So actually, she, the mayor, yeah, because usually it would be her duty to make those decisions, but the mayor went ahead, and she went ahead and took care of it, and you know, fired them. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, but she didn't know anything about it. the chief. So can we trust her? That's the question. I will say this. She, because I've had a chance to meet both of them. I've had a chance to interview Mayor Bottoms before. I've had a chance to meet Chief Shields, but I haven't had a chance to interview her. But I think everybody is entitled to their opinion. Whether their opinion is outrageous, you know, I mean, everybody's still entitled to their opinion. But I think that as a chief, you know, when something like this happens, you do have to look at some things. You have to regroup and, you know, see, you know, just kind of reflect on certain things. And that's one of those situations where you have to reflect on that. You have to, you know, look at that situation and be like, you know, because these people are under me. These people are representing Atlanta, and this is not, you know, what Atlanta stands for. So it's just one of those situations where, you know, everybody, like certain people have mixed feelings about it. It's a lot of lots of opinions involved, but, you know, everybody's entitled to their opinion. I will say that this question is a little tough. So I'm trying to answer it to the best of my knowledge, but
sure.
Yes, like I said, everybody's entitled to their opinion. I actually haven't had, like, I know you said, can I trust her to, you know, be in charge? Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't really know, to be honest, because I haven't really had, like, personally, because I honestly, that would be more of like I guess kind of, you know, previous experiences that I've had in Atlanta, mm-hmm. you know, with police and stuff. So, and I haven't had actually any interactions with Atlanta police like ever. So, you okay. know, I mean, I really don't know, actually.
Okay.
But yes, like I said, everybody's entitled to their opinion. There's lots of opinions about it, lots of mixed feelings.
You are on the level with J. Lewis Mills. If you want to call and speak to myself or Tyreek, you can call us at 1-888-627-6008. 1-888-627-6008. So let's talk about another high-profile killing that was not police-related, but it was racially charged. Ahmaud Arbery. That happened there in Georgia. And, you know, there have been reports that have come out that Ahmaud was hit with a car before he was shot. He was called the N-word, and then he was shot. So with you being there in Georgia, when, you know, when that happened, and then soon after that, the George Floyd situation happened, I'm going to be honest with you. I thought the whole state of Georgia was going to be burned down. And that's just my opinion, because for you to have two high profile situations like this happen, and I understand both of them did not happen in Georgia, but to have two situations, or you could even say three if you want to add Breonna Taylor into the situation. But let's just stick with the Ahmaud Arbery tragedy. How did you take that? And when it happened, what was the pulse of Atlanta?
Well, I will. Yeah. So, you know, as you mentioned, that situation did happen here in Georgia, down in Brunswick. So that's actually, I think that's about 3-ish hours away from Atlanta. So it's kind of close down on the coast by the beach. But yes, that situation did happen. I will say that's another situation I was outraged about. I think that, you know, people need to wake up and realize what is happening, what is going on. And it's time for people to put their differences aside and come together in unity. I'm tired of seeing, I'm a journalist as well. So, you know, I really don't, and I appreciate this platform because a lot of times I really don't have the chance to express my feelings as much as I'd like to. So I really do appreciate this. But, you know, I will say I am, for one, that is also sick and tired of seeing my people having their lives taken by being innocent and doing nothing. This is ridiculous. And it's annoying. It's annoying. You know, it makes us angry. It makes me angry. It's just one of those things. And it's like, when these situations happen, there's so much aftermath that occurs. You know, you got the protest, you got all of these different things, but at the end of the day, what can we do to stop this stuff? That's really like my main question is, what can we do to put this stuff to a cease?
Who do you mean? When you say who does we entail as far as your, in the context of what you're saying?
Well, I mean everybody, because I think, you know, even though this is, you know, it is obviously there is race involved, but I'm saying, what can we as a society do to stop this? Because obviously, you know, it's not just blacks out there protesting. There's other races that are out there protesting, standing with us, and they are coming together with us. They are speaking out with us. And I'm grateful for that we have them as a support system, and we need that. But yes, that's what I mean by we need to come together as a society, figure out what we need to do to put a stop to this stuff, so we don't keep crying, so we don't keep getting tired, so we don't keep getting angry and things of that nature. We just need to figure out what exactly we need to do to put these things to a cease and not have to see it again, because this is, this stuff is not of God. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody wants to see this stuff. And for us to, it's really sad with the whole Ahmaud situation. And I mean, with him, you know, also thinking about his mom too, it's like, I'm not a mom, but I have a mom, and I know that, my mom is my parents, because both of my parents, they're always, you know, looking out for me, checking up on me, and, you know, and things like that. And so I'm really close with my parents, and I can imagine how close she was with her son. So, I feel for, you know, prayers definitely with her and the rest of the family, because I know they're still dealing with this situation. But yes, I really do feel for the mom, the family. It's a tough situation to deal with, and it's one of those things where you never get over it. It sticks with you for the rest of your time, and it's a really tough situation. So I really just can't even imagine, how the families are feeling, at this moment. But yes, definitely praying, keeping my prayers up. I encourage the viewers to do the same thing. We definitely just have to, we just have to pray about these things.
So you said something, you said we need to, or people need to wake up. So what I took from that was the we and wake up. So I'm going to ask you this question, and I apologize if my explanation to my question is a bit long, but I believe I have to ask it like this. So let's say you have a friend and you have your friend over to your house. It doesn't matter. The situation doesn't matter the color. It can be a white friend. It can be a black friend. It can be any friend. You have a friend over at your house. Your friend goes into your room or somewhere in your home, and he steals something. He or she steals something, and you find out about it. Clearly, you're not going to have that person back in your house again, but you're going to tell them. I'm sure you would tell them, you have to earn my trust back. So thinking in that context, when you say we as a society, do you think one race has to prove themselves to the other before that conversation can be had? And to be more specific about it, do you think white people need to prove themselves to black people that you can trust us enough to now come and sit down at the table and have this conversation? Because this is not the first time this has happened. This has been happening all throughout the years, and we as black people have forgiven, and we've marched and forgiven and marched and forgiven and marched and forgiven. So do you think that we are at a point to where white America has to prove itself, or do you think we just need to get to the table right now and have that conversation?
Wow. I will say, I actually, and it's funny that you've mentioned that, like, the first situation, I've actually been in that situation. Mm-hmm. So, I've had somebody take some things from me, but I did go back and get what was mine, because I did not let that stand. Mm-hmm. But with it, absolutely. I think, but, and let me say this, it's only certain people, Caucasian people, but it's not all of them. It is not all of them. We have some that are actually doing the right thing, standing with us, out there protesting, out there casting their ballots, speaking up for what's right. And I completely applaud that for those of them who are doing that. But I think, like I said, with the part of coming together, we just need to figure out what needs to be done, come together, figure out, obviously we know what the issues are. We need to figure out what the issues are, get the solutions to those issues, sit down with our politicians in office, sit down with the people that we elected as a society. Because I think politics has a whole lot to do with it. Absolutely. 100% has a lot to do with it.
Yeah, we're going to get to that in a minute. We're going to get to the politics in a minute, but let me just clearly say something. I asked that question the way I did for a reason. I wanted to hear you say, not all white people. I wanted that to be a part of your answer. So that's why I asked the question the way I did. I was on my show last week and I said, I wouldn't have the career that I have if it wasn't for some Caucasian people. So me personally, I don't believe that all Caucasian people are bad or evil, but I did form my question the way I did because I wanted to see if you were going to correct that. So, I mean, I guess in a sense, I can say thank you for that.
Great question.
thank you. Getting to politics, and our time is running low, but getting to politics, I was watching, I went and I saw this video. Today is Wednesday, so it was probably, I don't remember, it really doesn't matter when it was sometime within the last several days. I went to YouTube and I saw a video of President Donald Trump in Maine, and he sat down with one, two, three, four, five, six. He sat down at a round table with six Caucasian people. No, it was last week. He sat down at had a round table conversation about fishing in Maine and, you know, the problems that the fishermen are having in Maine. Now, when I first saw the video, I thought it was a Saturday Night Live sketch, to be honest with you. With everything going on in this country today, you choose to turn your attention to fishing in Maine. The problems that fishermen are having. And God bless them. I'm not saying that they don't have problems, but good God Almighty, we have so many bigger problems going on in this country. So you mentioned, you started to mention politicians. So, and because the president of the United States, no matter who he is or who she is, God willing, that is the highest politician in the land. I mean, even though Congress has the power that Congress has, still the president of the United States, I've heard some people say that the president of the United States, whoever it is the most powerful person in the free world. So, I mean, I've heard that more than once. So if it starts at the top, do you think that the way President Trump has handled not only police brutality, but even when he was signing that new bill about the unemployment, when he said this is for George, what is your opinion of the President of the United States?
Oh, man. Wow. I will tell you, I was 16 at the time, so I didn't have any say in the election as far as voting is concerned. But, I'll kind of hit bits and pieces of it and then answer it as a whole. But yes, so with the fishing in Maine, ridiculous. I mean, come on, yo. Literally, that's a governor situation, in my opinion. What does that have to do? We're talking about fishing. that's a governor situation, in my opinion. So for you to have the audacity to go and do that when there are huger, way bigger world issues happening right now in our country, when our country is at, you know, is at its lowest point. We have a whole pandemic happening. We have police brutality happening. There are other issues happening. and you go and do that.
Mm-hmm.
What, I mean, to me, that says a lot about your character, to me. And it doesn't say anything good about it.
Do you think it's a slap in the face to the black community, to the ethnic communities?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Because my thing is, has he came out and said, you know, something that has he came out and said anything positive about this situation as far as, hey, I stand with you guys, you know, I 100% fully, you know, support the black community and things in that nature?
No. Well, yeah, he actually did. He actually was standing in the, when he was doing his, he wasn't in the Rose Garden. I think he was on the West Lawn of the White House, and he was saying, I stand with the peaceful protesters. And no sooner than he said that, you could hear flashbangs going off behind him. So, yeah, he said it, but clearly he didn't mean it, because he pepper sprayed and rubber bullets had peaceful protesters pepper sprayed. I'm not going to say he did it, but they were pepper sprayed and fired upon and moved out of Lafayette Park so that he could walk and have his photo op. So, yes, he said it, but he clearly didn't mean it.
Yeah, and that's actually kind of really what I meant about. Like, I knew, I knew that that happened, but obviously, he doesn't mean it. You know, basically, kind of what you said. So that's actually kind of what I was actually getting to that. But I appreciate you, clearing that up and things in that nature. But yes, to me personally, I want a leader. I want someone in the White House that is going to represent me, represent my community, represent the people around me, represent America in a positive light. I want a leader that's going to get things done, a leader that is going to take situations like this and do something about it, and do something right about it, create a solution. That's your job. That's why you were elected. And to see this man, you know, he is an embarrassment. You know, I'm pretty sure other countries are literally laughing at America because of, you know, quote unquote, what America elected. Yes. And this is not of us. And I'm still to this day trying to figure out, how did this happen? I'm still trying to figure that out. But,
well, again,
you know,
this happened, in my opinion, happened because of what I said at the top of the show. My generation just didn't get it right. Mm-hmm. The generation before me just didn't get it right. So, and again, I will say it again. I am not putting any pressure on you or your generation, but, you know, it seems as though it is up to your generation and generations after to, you know, really change the pulse of just the country, the world even. And I will wrap this up with this question, and this is not a loaded question, but some people may see it as being a controversial question. But again, I have you on because I wanted to get your opinion as the younger generation. So, Drew Brees did a television interview where he said, I will never support kneeling for the national anthem, and then he started going into talking about his grandfathers as though his grandfathers were the only ones that were in the war. So, you know, he says, he makes the disparaging comments about, he didn't actually come right out and make them about Colin Kaepernick, but you clearly knew who and what he was talking about. Then he wants to come and give an apology. I've spoken to my teammates. I've spoken to leaders in the black community. I've spoken to close friends of mine. And we need to stop making this about the flag because it has nothing to do with the flag. So my question to you is this, and I will even open this up and say on either side of the fence, I don't care what color you are, do you think that people that come out and make egregious statements without knowing what they are talking about, do you think just because they apologize they get a pass? Or do you think, and more specifically in this situation, do you think that Drew Brees does not get a pass because it could very well be looked at that he is only apologizing because he got dragged as much as he did? Because it seems to me, if you really cared, you would have done your research. So basically, in his apology, he's saying, I spoke with teammates, black leaders, and close friends. You didn't have that conversation with teammates, black leaders, and close friends before you made up your mind? And you thought that it was okay to get on national television and say that you will never support someone kneeling to the Star Spangled Banner, even though the Star Spangled Banner has a racist third and fourth verse to it. So do you think that Drew Brees and people like him that have the platform to make change, but they choose to stay uneducated and still make these egregious statements, do you think when they apologize that we should give them a pass? Or do you think enough is enough and you said what you said without doing the research, you have to stand up for it?
Wow. Well, I will say this. I did not expect that out of Drew, because, you know, and I've actually had a chance to meet him in person. I met him at the Pro Bowl. And I've actually had a chance to have him on my show, my talk show. And I, you know, from meeting him, his whole demeanor, I've never would have expected this out of him. But he came out and he said what he said and he stated his opinion. He does not get a pass. And this is one of the number one issues that annoys me in so many ways, because there, you know, and there is a selected group of people who keep saying is disrespecting the flag. Mm-hmm. It is not about the flag.
Yes.
I don't know how many times we have to say it. I don't know how many times we have to repeat ourselves. It has nothing to do with the American flag. So please, 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 please stop saying that, because it doesn't have anything to do with the flag. Colin Kaepernick was out there kneeling because he was standing up for injustice. Mm-hmm. And he was making a statement and making a point. But see, my thing, and I don't know if you had a chance to see, and I don't know if you had a chance to see it, but this very powerful post on social media, it had a picture of Colin Kaepernick mm-hmm. kneeling on the football field. Mm-hmm. And then right next to him, it had a picture of the officer and George Floyd.
Oh, absolutely, and, yeah.
Yes, and people had the issue with the Kaepernick. And that was just something that just kind of blew my mind, because how do you have an issue? And I look at Colin Kaepernick. He's not doing anything wrong. He's not. What was he doing that was so wrong? He was standing up for what he believes in, and I 100% fully support standing up for what you believe in. And he was doing that, standing up for what he believed in. And I'll close out with this: it is not about the flag, and I'll leave it at that.
Well, sir, thank you very kindly for being on the show. I know that when we spoke yesterday, you said that in a couple of days you have another book coming out. So when you start doing your promotional tour of that, you absolutely have to let me know, and you have to come back and talk about that. But before I give my ending commentary, I always allow my guests to leave my listeners with one last thought, as well as if you would like to share any of your social media information. So what is the final thought you would like to leave my listeners with?
My final thought will be to, one, exercise your right to vote. And voting is very important. Here in Georgia, there was so much voter suppression, and you wouldn't even believe it. Long lines. We just got new voting machines, and they weren't working. The power went out at some voting locations, in black locations, and to basically try to keep us from voting. No matter what happens, because this is one of the most important elections in the history of the United States of America. In November, I want everybody to head to the polls, no matter what conditions you are under. If it can be pouring down, raining outside, thundering and lightning, tornadoes can be outside, whatever the case may be. It can be 5-hour lines, you standing in line. I will tell you, I stood in line 8+ hours when Barack Obama came here to Georgia to support Stacey Abrams. So I said, if I can do that, then I can stand in line to vote. And that's exactly what I'm going to do, no matter what the conditions are. So I encourage everybody out there who is listening right now, when November comes, get out, exercise your right to vote, no matter what the case may be, no matter what conditions you are under, get out and vote. That is one of the most important rights that you have. And I'll also leave with this. People say my vote doesn't count. I'm tired of hearing that. Your vote counts. Because if your vote didn't count, they wouldn't have tried to keep you from using it back in the day. So get out and use your voice and vote. And that is my last word that I'll leave with the audience. But yes, to you, I want to say thank you so much for having me on your amazing platform. This was very enjoyable. This is actually one of the longest interviews I did, but it was very entertaining. And it's actually first interview I've actually done out of Cali, and one of the latest interviews as well, because I know we have that time difference, you know, with time zones and things in that nature. But yeah, I really appreciated you. I'm definitely going to have to learn your interview style, because it is thebomb.com.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, I need to definitely take notes over here on my end, so I can, you know, get better at things that I'm doing, and get better at things and, you know, what I'm doing on my side of things. But yes, once again, I appreciate you taking time to, you know, interview me and finding me on LinkedIn, and shout out to LinkedIn. But yes, I'm going to leave the viewers with this as well. Make sure you guys go follow me on social media. I'm really active on Instagram. My Instagram is TyriqWynn_TV. That's TyriqWynn_TV. TyriqWynn_TV. Make sure you go check out my talk show, Tyriq on the Move. You can see some of your most favorite celebrity interviews on there. I've interviewed actors, presidential candidates, singers, artists, all that, you name it. You name it, I've interviewed them. So make sure you guys go check out my talk show. It's called Tyriq on the Move. That's TYRIK. And then followed by On the Move. You can search that in Google on your YouTube browser. And you can Google my name, where you can find the book and all other things that I do. My name is Tyriq Wynn, TYRIK, and WYNN. So make sure you guys go check me out. Also, my production company, hey, we do travel. So if you guys have any video production needs for your business, or you just want a video shot, you want a virtual business card, all that good stuff, make sure you give us a call at 754-225-2805. 754-225-2805, or send us an email at winproductionsllc@gmail.com. My personal email is tyreekwintv@gmail.com, and those are all my plugs and social media and all that good stuff.
Well, thank you very kindly, sir. So I will end the show like this. You know, back when I was a kid, Whitney Houston came out with the song, I believe the children are, the name of the song is Greatest Love, I believe. But the first words of that song is, I believe the children are our future. Now, the next generation under me clearly are not children. They are young adults now, enterprising young adults. And the one thing that I was surprised with, as well as proud of, was the fact that I saw so many young people that were protesting, that were peacefully protesting. Yes, I saw some of the younger generation that was doing the looting and that was doing the rioting. And I purposely did not ask Tyreek about that because there is still too much muddy water as to if that was outside agitators or if those were real people. But let me just clearly say this. If those weren't outside agitators, I understand the rioting. I will never understand looting because you don't know whose business that is. You don't know if you're breaking into a black business or if you're breaking into a white business. So I did not speak to Tyreek about that because those waters are too muddy. But it's very clear. I 100% understand rioting. As I said last week, I 100% understand why the 3rd precinct of the Minneapolis Police Department was set on fire, no matter who did it. But I was proud as well as surprised to see so many young people that were out there peacefully protesting, walking for miles, whether there were cameras around or not, because they believe enough is enough. And if, as I said, if my generation couldn't get it right, and if the generations before me couldn't get it right, I have no problem whatsoever standing in line behind the next generation, because we as a generation have already proven we don't know what we're doing. To me, age is nothing but a number. You heard this young 19-year-old man tell you everything he was doing in his professional life at 19. When I spoke to this young man yesterday, I'm not going to lie. He made me feel like I wasn't doing enough. He has everything that he has at 19. God bless his parents. Let me just say that. God bless his parents for raising a young black, and I don't think I'm saying too much, by raising a young black prodigy like this right here. And that's why I had him on this show. All the hats this young man wears, I'm not going to say he doesn't have time to get in trouble, but with all the hats and responsibility he wears, just imagine how many people he would be letting down, or people like him would be letting down if they decided to go down that wrong road. So I have absolutely no problem whatsoever standing in line behind the next generation, because my generation and generations before me have proven that we just don't know what the hell we're doing. And we need the younger generation to step up and say, Mom, Dad, go sit down. Let me handle this. Again, I thank Tyreek for being on my show. I thank you all for listening. Next week, it's going to be a bit of a lighter show. I met a friend when I was working on the film on Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And when we were on set, I told her, I asked her if she would be on my show. And it took, you know, there was a lot going on. So it finally took my show to coming back. And when I knew I was coming back for sure, she is one of the first people that I reached out to. And I told I was going to be back on the air. So next week, she will be on. We're going to talk all things Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. We're going to talk about our experiences on set. But I really want you to hear her story. Again, I thank you all very kindly for being here. Join me next week, same time, Station 1. There may have been a few callers this week, but we got into the conversation, so I apologize. Please don't stop calling. Continue calling in, and I promise next week and thereafter, I will take your telephone calls. Again, God bless you all. Have a great week. We are out.
Are you inspired? Can I inspire you more? Come join me every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. here at BBS Radio. Let's get inspired together. Come join me. You'll be glad you did.